and verse 13.
Yeah. No, we can't.
Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13. Yeah, well, different. Let me just grab one. Yeah. Make sure I've got the right. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. Looking around me, I can see there must be some very sad. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. Isn't that wonderful? A joyful heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. An anxious heart weighs a man down. A kind word cheers him up. Those of you who've worked in industry or in places where there are multiple levels of staffing, you will know how delightful it is when someone just says thank you for a job well done. Or when you get your annual appraisal and it says he has completed all of his tasks efficiently, professionally, with a happy demeanor or whatever. It builds us up. We feel that joy in our heart. The problem is that in this world today, we don't want to build people up. We don't want people to feel they have succeeded. Because if they feel they've succeeded, they might get ideas above their station. And we wouldn't want that. So we keep them down. We crush them. And that is one of the biggest problems in the church today. The lack of appreciation that is shown for a job well done. Now, the chap came on Friday, and he, Wednesday. The chap came on Wednesday, and he did the broadband for us. Brilliant. He was so efficient that when I got the thing from Virgin Media saying, how would you describe your experience, I had to say it was excellent. Because he showed me things, you know, of how to bring it through the wall and how to put it where it is, that I hadn't thought of. So I had to say he was brilliant. And so I asked him, I said to him, if I give you, you know, a five-star review, what happened? He said, well, what happens is the management, they take all our five-star reviews, and each of the five-star reviews equates to a bonus. But any review that is less than five stars takes away from that bonus. So he said, the only ones we really get credit for are the five stars. So if you say that I was satisfied, which is probably in the middle, he doesn't get anything for that. You have to say, did a super, 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 duper job in order to. But that is what the Lord is about here. That is what this is all about. That the joy of the Lord is so in our hearts that we cannot help but it shine out through our faces. It cannot help but be part of our demeanor. It cannot help but be in the way that we do things. And if we are doing them in that way, then people will come to us and they'll laugh. Oh, what are you so happy about? And you can say, because I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I mean, that sounds a bit trite, so I don't mean young time. Joy, joy, joy. But that's what it's about. And I believe, I firmly believe, that so many people are being put off from the church. Now let's get this right. Are being put off from the church by some of the people who go to church. Do you want to join an organization which makes you get up early every Sunday morning, makes you come into the fortunes that's warm, makes you come into a cold building, sit with people who do we want to come into a place which is welcoming, which is warm, which has the joy of the Lord within it? And if the joy of the Lord is in our hearts, it cannot help but spill out to others. Some of you are old enough to remember Andrew's Liversoft. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember Andrew's? Do you remember when you... Do you remember? He used to put, a spoonful into this little tongue. Do you remember that? Warm. And some of you have this foam everywhere. He was trying to come up. But that's what this is about. That joy of the Lord in our heart is so effervescent. So effervescent. That we cannot help but spread it to others. No, try it in Sainsbury's. Try singing hymns in Sainsbury's. It always gets funny. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's that joy of the Lord. And what's it saying a bit, a couple of verses up further on? The joyful heart has a continual feast. Not just a continual meal, not just a continual ham sandwich, but a feast. We are filled to overflowing. The table is so laden with food that we can't eat it all. So what do? We share it with others. We make sure that we encourage other people to come in. A psychiatrist once said, I have never been asked to treat a person because they're too happy. Yes? I have never been asked to treat a person because they're too happy. So a joyful heart makes for good medicine. There are studies that have been made of people who have had quite serious operations. But their recovery has been shortened by prayer and Bible study, by knowing that the Lord is there with them. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? These things are there for us. We come to this place to worship. We come to this place to immerse ourselves with our friends in the joy of the Lord. That is why we come. I've told you before the story of a deacon that I spoke to once in South Wales. And I said to him, why do you come to church on a Sunday? Well, if I wasn't here, the PA system wouldn't work. That was his reason. And please, David, don't carry me. And so I had to say to him, well, you're coming to church for all the wrong reasons. Is the church going to fall down because you don't have a PA system? Is the church going to fall down because the lights don't work? We might have to wrap up a bit warmer if the heating doesn't work, but no. We come to church because we want to be with God's people. We want to be part of God's family in this place. And that's what the covenant was all about. And I will make sure that those who aren't here today receive a copy next week and in weeks to come. But that's what it's about. When you sit with your family, or you sat with your family at Christmas dinner, hate to ask this, but did you sit there with long faces? Did you sit there, another Christmas dinner, another dried out turkey, another Christmas pudding where mum's forgotten to put it on the up on the hob earlier, you know? No, sorry. But we come to those meals, we come with a sense of joyful anticipation. And that is how we should come to church each time. With joyful anticipation. I do. I never know what I'm going to say when I get up here. So I do, because I know that the Holy Spirit will bring me and you a message that is right for today. A message that is right for the situation today. Why do we have that joy in our hearts? I'm going to give you some very quick reasons why. Because he has blessed you beyond the scope of your imagination. Think about that for a moment. Think about that. At the beginning of 2025, did you honestly believe that you would be at this point in 2026? Listen, I didn't. And I'm sure many of you feel the same. We have been blessed beyond our imagination. He is my protector. When everything else falls away, when all the world has fallen away, God is my protector. Your protector. So there should be joy. There should be joy in our hearts purely because of what God is. God is God. You will remember that in the early books of the Old Testament, originally God said, I am I. I, in other words, the one, the only. I am God. I, but then because the people found that difficult to process, he said, I am who I am. In other words, I am always, I am this, I am that, and so on. And so it had to then, because of our inability to take into our brains, our feeble little brain, the size of his magnificence, the size of his mightiness, God had to extend in order that people would begin to get a deeper understanding of who he is. Not many people have seen God. Jesus, obviously. But the one that I love is Moses. Do you remember when he went up on Mount Sinai to receive the commandments? And he said, God, I want to see you. I want to see you. That if you saw my face, you would die. My brilliance would just sweep you away. But I will allow you to see the land. And so he hides him in what we call a cleft in the rock. And he goes past him. And Moses sees him. How do the people know that Moses has seen God when he comes back down? His face is glowing. His face is like, he said, like the morning sun. Because he has had that glimpse of God. So bright was it that they had to cover his face with a napkin, with a towel. Because it was frightening them so much. And yet, when we get up there, we will see him. we will be able to look and see all that God has seen. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Whilst we are here, we look at a piece of embroidery or tapestry and we see it from the back side. So we see all the loose threads. We see the repairs. We see where a stitch has been dropped and caught up again. We see where the colour perhaps didn't quite come right and then had to be redone. That's what we see. But when we get up there, we will see what God sees. The front. Whole tapestry beautifully laid out, and then we will be able to say, now that's why such and such happened there, because it led to this happening there and that happening. God's timing is immaculate, God's timing is perfect. That joy that needs to be in our hearts. Why? Because he loves us. He is so great. He is so magnificent. He is so mighty. But he loves me. And he loves you. I'm not really worth being loved except by this. But God loves us. With all our imperfections, with all our foibles and weaknesses, he loves us. Isn't that amazing? He loves us and he cares for us. And he cares for us so much that he has changed our heart. That heart of ours which was a sinful heart. A heart which was on the road to death and destruction. Through his Son, he has changed our heart. So we know what our destination is. We know that when we leave this earthly world, we're going to be in the heavenly world. We know that. The people I always feel sorry, especially when I'm taking funerals, is those that have no faith. Those who think, oh, it's just darkness. Once you die, you just, you know, just darkness. Or that's it, end of story. No, it's not. We've talked already today about the problems of this world. And Jesus said, you will always have problems in this world until I come again. Is that day coming closer? Is that day accelerating towards us? If it is, and I do believe it is, that is our mission to ensure that as many people as possible have come under the sound of the gospel. As many people as possible have had the opportunity to have their hearts changed and to feel the joy that we feel. Please don't get me wrong. As Christians, that joy can get battered and bruised. That joy can get kicked about and sometimes a little bit punctured, sometimes a little bit squashed, yeah? Then you wonder, where is it? Where's it gone? I don't feel terribly joyful today. If you look deep inside, take those moments just to meditate on what God has done for you, you will find that joy once again. Amen.